has pinned. There's so much now I cannot see. My eyesight is far too dim. But come what may, I'll simply trust and put my faith in Him. For by and by the mist will lift, then clear it all He'll make. Through all the way, though dark to me, He made not one mistake. We will never forget. And I hope you're teaching your children so that they will never forget. 15 years ago, can you believe it? 15 years ago. I want to remind you of something that did not make the bulletin this morning. It was my fault. I've pinched my back. It's not a big deal. It's just a pain in the back deal. And so I didn't get this information to Marcia in time. But if you remember a while back, we announced that we're going to go see the Ark on October 21st, 22nd. Now, the 22nd, that Saturday, is the day we're actually going to the Ark. That opens at 9 a.m., so a bunch of us are going to go up Friday night, spend the night in a hotel, and then get up bright and early and go. You can come on up Saturday morning if you'd like, and you don't have to go in the doors with us, but it does open at 9. I will tell you that on a Saturday, come about 10, 10:30, it will get very crowded. If you would like to go with us on Friday night, we have 3 vans that are going. There's a sign up out in the foyer for you to say you'd like to ride with us. You can go up Friday night to the hotel in your own vehicle, too. You can get there however. But if you'd like a hotel, again, I'll tell you that because it's a Saturday, a Friday night going into a Saturday, those hotels in that area are filling up very, very fast. Barbie is booking several hotels and rooms. You have several choices, or you can book one on your own. Just give her a call or make some arrangements. But that sign-up's out there. I hope you'll plan to go with us October 21st, 22nd to see the Ark. Now, the cane is to help relieve a little bit of that pain in the back, but it's also for an illustration here in just a moment. I want to thank you, as Ron did, for coming and joining us today. I know there are many other things you could have done. I also know that there's a picnic after church. That adds to the incentive, doesn't it? And a car show. And I saw a couple of those vehicles out there already. Looked really, really good. I was going to bring my scooter, but you got to see it last week if you were here. We have begun a short sermon series we're calling Every Believer on a Mission for God. We started last week with Every Believer on a Mission Possible. Every believer. As we wait on the Holy Spirit to lead us, we wait praying. And when He leads, He wants us to be His witnesses everywhere we go, to whomever and whenever He gives us that opportunity. Now that may seem impossible to some, especially if you're not good at talking to people about God. But with His Holy Spirit leading us and us not forcing it or trying to make something happen, it quickly and amazingly becomes a mission possible. Now, speaking of the leading of the Holy Spirit, I'm reminded of the story about Wilma and the preacher. Now, believe it or not, this is a true story, and a preacher told this at Wilma's funeral, this particular incident that happened. Wilma had been a member of their church for many, many years. In her latter years, she needed the assistance of a cane to help her with her walking. As she would talk to the preacher, she would make her points by lightly tapping him in the chest or on the shoulder with the handle of her cane. One Sunday after the morning worship service, the preacher was standing at the door of the sanctuary, and as Wilma hobbled up to him, she said, "That was a pretty good sermon." And in his true Christian humbleness, the preacher said, "Well, thank you, Miss Wilma, but it wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit." And without batting an eye, she tapped him in the middle of the chest with her cane and said, "Oh, no. If that had been the Holy Spirit, it would have been a lot better than that." So when you leave today, you can either tell me that was a good sermon, or boy, the Holy Spirit had a hold of that one. I don't know what you mean, okay? Today we continue this series with every believer a worshiper. Well, what is worship? We have a worship service. We sing worship songs. And every good husband worships the ground his wife walks on. Amen. An older lady who had no affinity for the contemporary worship was complaining about a particular song used in their church service one Sunday. And a fellow worshiper responded to her, "Well, that's not a new song. It's a very old song." She said, "David sang that song to Saul." And the older lady replied, "Well, for the first time, I understand why Saul wanted to kill him." That's bad, isn't it? That's almost as bad as the paramedic who was asked on a local Dallas TV talk show, "What was your most unusual and challenging 911 call?" His response was, "Recently we got a call from that big white church on 11th and Walnut. A frantic usher was very concerned that during their worship service, an elderly man had passed out in a pew and he appeared to be dead. The usher could find no pulse and there was no noticeable breathing." So the interviewer followed up with, "Well, what was so unusual and demanding about this particular call?" "Well," the paramedic said, "we carried out four guys before we found the one who was dead." Now that's funny. I don't care who you are. You ever been to a church service like that? Man, not here. Today we want to see what worship really is and encourage every believer to be worshipers. So again, what is worship? Is it singing Christian songs on a Sunday morning? Is it singing Christian songs any other day of the week? I got to tell you real quickly, and I apologize to our slide folks, it's not in the sermon, but as most of you know, I drive a school bus. And on Sunday morning, or each morning after I drop off all the elementary kids, I make a quick run over to the high school to pick up some transfer students to the junior high school. Just a real short, brief thing. And while I was waiting for those kids one day, I had the radio on the bus on WBGL. And it was playing a really good song. And as I opened the door for the kids to get on, I reached up to turn that down. I didn't want to offend anybody. But before I could turn it down, first two girls get on the bus, said, "Oh, I love that song," and they started singing it. So I left it on, and then they all got seated on the bus, and it picked up the beat, got that chorus going, and you know me, I'm so shy and bashful. I sat up in the seat before we took off, and I'm going, "Got the beat going, man, just got that beat going." And they started clapping, and then they go, "Party bus, party bus." And every day since then, they asked me to turn the radio on. You don't have to be in a church service on a Sunday morning to sing and praise the Lord and worship. Is it about singing old songs or new songs? Is worship just singing psalms? Is it about singing at all? Is it about rituals and about good feelings inside? You know, worship really is not about any of those things. Now, okay, we do some of those things when we worship. We sing a lot of worship songs. But worship is really about us and God and about how we express our relationship with Him. Worship is not something that we do for our own benefit. When we worship, it's not even for anybody else's benefit. It's for one person. We worship for an audience of one. We worship for God. Worship is not something we just do on Sunday. Worship should be, for every believer, a way of life. It's something we should be living out daily. This morning we want to look at some people and passages of Scripture and see what we can learn about worship and about being worshipers. First, turn with me to Luke chapter 10. You might want to hang on to Luke there. We're going to look at him again next, but then we'll go to the book of Acts. It's in your outline there. Luke chapter 10, begin looking with me at verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him, that is Jesus, and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." How many of you can see that? "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Jesus is visiting some very good friends, Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus. And we learn something very important from Mary and Martha about what Jesus' attitude of worship is. You see, Martha was one of those women who always wanted everything to be just right. I know we don't have anybody like that here. Especially when someone like Jesus was around. Today, she was very busy getting everything prepared in the kitchen because the master had dropped by and she was fixing dinner. I can imagine her in the kitchen working away like a busy bee, and all the while seeing her sister Mary in there, sitting by Jesus, listening to him, talking to him, spending time with him. I can imagine all the things she would have been saying under her breath until she gets so frustrated, she decides she would just march right in there and get Jesus to tell her off. How can she just sit around talking to him when there's so much work to be done? Some of you are probably thinking, well, you know, Martha was right. Mary should have been in the kitchen helping get dinner ready. She should get off her lazy bottom and do something helpful. And that just shows you how much we are like Martha. But what does Jesus say? Well, he doesn't condemn Martha for doing the things that needed to be done. Far from it. But he did tell her, it was very presumptuous of her to think the way Mary was serving Jesus was not the right way. In fact, he said Mary had chosen the better service, didn't he? Mary and Martha both loved Jesus. They loved him very much. But what Martha failed to realize was, in her desire to serve Jesus, she was actually neglecting him. She was so busy doing things for Jesus, she had no time to spend with Jesus. I suspect there are many Marthas in this sanctuary today. You see, if we spend so much time doing things for Jesus, but never spending time to get to know Jesus, telling him how much we love him, then we are doing ourselves and Jesus a disservice by missing the privilege of getting to know him intimately. That's why most Christians know about Jesus, but they don't really know Jesus. Mary knew Jesus would need served, but she just got things in the right order. She spent time loving him, talking to him, listening to him. She knew Jesus wouldn't care if they had a fancy dinner or a bologna sandwich. Well, no, bologna might not have been good. Oh, you'll get that in a little bit. I'm thinking we need to spend more time with God and less time worrying about many things trying to serve him. We need to spend more time alone with God, talking to him, telling him how much we love him, listening to him tell us how much he loves us. We need to spend time to breathe in his grace and to sing out his praise. So first, we learn that worship is personal. Worship is something we can do alone with Jesus. Spending time alone with him should be a priority. It's even more important than doing things for him. Now, turn with me to Luke chapter 7, back a few pages. And we'll start at verse 36. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, Jesus going to go eat with a sinner? Yeah, he'd even eat with you and me. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. He made himself at home. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Now, those of you who are familiar with this account will recognize that this sinful woman in this passage was forgiven of much. Now, I suppose you're wondering, what does she have to do with worship? Well, I think we can learn something important from her. When she was with Jesus, one thing certainly stands out about the way she worshiped. It cost her a lot. Yeah, it cost her financially. I get that. And Mark's account of this story tells us that that jar of perfume was worth more than a year's wage. And sometimes we teach our lessons and preach our sermons and get hung up on the expensive perfume that the disciples thought wasted in such a manner. But I think more than that, it cost her herself. She lowered herself, made herself vulnerable in front of all those people at the Pharisee's house. Everyone knew who this woman was, what kind of life she lived. What would they think? What would they say? Guess what? She didn't care. She had a very deep love for Jesus. She heard he was going to be there, so she showed up, and everything that she did showed how much she loved Jesus. So I think what we can learn from the forgiven sinful woman is that worship is giving of ourselves. It's not about pleasing the folks around you. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, the Apostle Paul urges us to offer our bodies, our lives, ourselves to God as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. And he says, this is your spiritual act of worship. When we lay down our lives in worship, not caring what others think or do, when we give of ourselves and not just our means, we enter into a spiritual act of worship. And that's what Jesus said worship was. As recorded in John 4:24, God is spirit and must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And when you give yourself, that is a spiritual act of worship. It's more than just singing songs on Sunday. It's about how we live our lives. It's our heart's true home. Let's look at one more example from the Bible. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 16. We'll pick up here at verse 22. Acts chapter 16, verse 22. Paul and Silas are preaching the word, and it offended somebody. And so they started attacking them. Verse 22, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. I read that to a group one day, and some lady said, yeah, they were singing hymns, not contemporary songs. So, honey, they were contemporary then. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, not just the one for Paul and Silas in the inner prison sail, but all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. I find this to be a powerful incident that shows us how important worship is, how powerful God is, and how worship can change us. Paul and Silas had been going about the business of telling people about Jesus, and as was common in those days for these two guys, they got slung into prison. Paul and Silas were stripped, beaten, the scripture says severely flogged, and placed in stocks, left in the cold prison inner cell. As you have probably had it described to you, prison in that day was not a bed and three square meals a day. You didn't get a phone call or a lawyer. It was a terrifying experience. This following being stripped and beaten. But what are Paul and Silas up to? They're praying. And suddenly, they break out into song. They start singing praises to God. Others are listening. And God moves. You know, there are situations, I think, in all of our lives where the last thing we probably think of is praising God and telling God we still love Him and trust Him. They're the times that make us start questioning God, doubting our faith. I like the story of the churches in North Dakota. Several of them, because they were all little small churches, were being served by the same preacher. He was a clever old guy. And the people are always amazed, for no matter what the circumstances were, this preacher could always find something to give thanks for. And on one cold December morning in North Dakota, he was late getting to one church for worship because of the excessive snow drifts between them. And as the service began with prayer, the parishioners were listening eagerly to see what the old preacher would come up with to be thankful for on this dismal December day. Gracious Lord, his prayer began, we thank you that not all days are like today. Paul and Silas had been stripped and beaten and thrown into prison, and they were praying. I'm thinking maybe in part they were thankful that not all days were like today. They weren't questioning what had happened or moaning about it or anything else. But I do think they were thankful that not every day was like today. Paul and Silas were singing because they were in prison for the sake of the Lord. Jesus said Christians were to give thanks when persecuted. It only shows that you're living the way He lived. How many of us have had the experience of perhaps feeling a bit down in the dumps, feeling perhaps God is 1,000 miles away from our situation? What do we do? I suspect most of us don't start praising God for His love and goodness. But even more amazing is that God recognized their faithfulness. He caused a miraculous state of events which led Paul and Silas to being set free. Now, if you keep reading that account, and I hope you will, they don't just rush out of the prison and go, free at last, free at last. In fact, when the prison guard who was commanded to guard them closely realizes what had happened, he was about to take his life because he knew that to let those prisoners escape meant his life. But before he could, they said, hey, hang on, man. Hang on. We're all here. We're not through praising the Lord yet. In the same way Paul and Silas were in chains, we can find ourselves in chains. Many people are chained to bad habits, chained to habitual sin, chained to circumstances, chained to the past, chained to addictions and depression. But God has the power to break the chains that bind us. Worship is not just about singing songs. Worship is about focusing on God and praising Him in every situation. It's about opening ourselves up to God. It's about laying our lives on God's altar and expressing our love for Him like the sinful woman who anointed Him with oil. It's about spending time with Jesus, getting to know Him, and expressing our love for Him while the world goes about its busy, busy, busy stuff like Mary did. It's about living the kind of life that is focused on God and praising Him whatever our circumstances, like Paul and Silas did. It's not for the benefit of others. It's not even for ourselves. It's our love expressed to God. And the funny thing is, when we worship like that, God is pleased. And yet, it's still us who ends up getting the blessings. What a mighty God we serve. That'd make a good song. Let's live a life of worship. Let's spend more time every day just pausing, as our opening song by the choir said, to be still. Know He is God. Remember, just breathe in His grace. And believe me, then you will sing out His praise. Let us live a life of worship. Father God, we thank You for this place that we call our church home. We thank You for this place where we can come and worship You together, corporately, with other believers of like precious faith. We thank You for this house of worship. And yet, Father, impress upon our hearts that our worship does not begin here, and it certainly does not end here on Sunday mornings. We come here together corporately with those of like precious faith to share in that praise, because we are well aware of the grace we live in, Your grace. But Father, when we leave this place today, our lives should be no less filled with Your praise, because our lives are no less filled with Your grace. Help us to realize that sometimes as we worship and laying our lives before You, it will cause us to break out in song. And help us to realize that others are listening, and that's okay. We want them to hear about the mighty God that we serve. For some of us, Father, we find ourselves in that doom and gloom mood. Things aren't working out very well. Things don't seem to be going in a very good direction, and we just don't know what to do about it. It seems like the more we pray, the less You just say, well, hold on, I'll get to you later. Help us to get through that by worship, by offering ourselves to You as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing. That's our spiritual act of worship. Let others around us take note that we've been with Jesus and that we still are. In Jesus' name, amen.